Yes, people, we are back. We're live once again on Quinny's YouTube channel, and we got the prodigal son returns. Tony Watt back in the building. How you doing, Tony? It's been a minute.
Oh, it's been a minute, lads. Sorry about the hectic schedule, but I'm back. I'm back to spread my lack of knowledge on this podcast.
Oh, be so hard on yourself, mate. It'd be good to pick your brain on how you've been getting on. We've been following what you've been doing from the shadows, obviously, and be really keen to pick your brain on like your kind of unique experience, especially the last few weeks. Been keeping a close eye on that. Been coming close to some pretty decent rewards, and yeah, it'd be great to pick your brain on the strategy. And good to have you back, mate. As always,
you've given me PTSD there, because when you say coming close, I chose the 400 on Cap 240 Super Rare at the weekend, and Captain Ciro Immobile. I think if I'd captained Hugo Kuipers, I think I'm getting in the money. So you're right, I've been getting close, but as they say, close is nowhere near enough.
That's pain. I think, you know, you got to be in it to win it with that 400, though, haven't you? Because I think it's a big gap between winning 60 and winning $320, isn't it? And I think sometimes you just got to shoot for the stars when it comes to
that
cap mode. So I feel you on that. I've had a few close calls in that.
It hurts when you choose the wrong one, but I got 363 points on Cap 240 unique. So shout out to Marley Watkins, what a guy! He won a penalty. I captained him. He won a penalty. But no, the frustrating thing is, if I had Roof, Carter Vickers, both super rares, one other, maybe Leighton Clarkson, who was in my academy, Marley Watkins is unique, and somebody else in All-Star, I'd have been really high up. So I've got the pieces in my gallery. It's just how I use them. And
I'll put them in the right place, yeah.
Yeah, and I probably do need to, I've said it on Twitter for ages, I probably do need to slightly downsize and change my uniques into maybe stronger super rares. I went last week and I sold Wiesa from Brentford, and I got Carter Vickers, Turangira, if that's how you say it, and Tati. So I'm looking okay. I just maybe need to shift one or two more uniques and then we'll get there.
Yeah, definitely hear that. Quinny, how's your weekend, mate? Any end product from you this weekend?
No. I got a couple of tier threes. I finally got my mid threshold for rare, but listening to you talk there, Tony, about PTSD, like since they changed this threshold thing, every weekend I'm getting threshold PTSD on missing targets or selecting the wrong target, and I've not hit one this whole time, you know, except for that rare one I just picked up at the weekend there. And with all the changes and stuff like that, you know, that we've got unveiled, one of the things people keep saying is it's the thresholds built galleries that have probably suffered the most. And right at the nosebleed levels, that's exactly what you've been building around, you know. So it's been interesting watching some of the moves you've pulled off. Like you talked about the Wiesa move there. I thought that was a great trade, getting some heavy hitting super rares in. But how do you feel that's kind of shaken up for you? Because you were down the road with quite a strong strategy, weren't you?
Yeah, I think it's just, I don't know how you put your head around it, but I think the biggest thing for me was I was slowly overpaying for a striker, overpaying for a keeper, which is fine because I knew that I could win it back with a couple of $500. So I was maybe thinking, right, for instance, the weekend I hit the target or whatever, and I think, right, okay, we'll get there. But then it is what it is. What can you do? I think Soria long-term will be a better game for it. So I think I need to just suck it up and go on with it. I still think I can get out of uniques if I want. Like, without boring you, I have got maybe 9 unique cards. I'll check just now. 9 unique cards, and to be fair, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 are SPL ones, which I'm happy with. Right? So 7 are SPL ones, what I'm happy with. The other two, one could go to the Euros and renew his contract, which brings him into play massively. He's a monster scorer in Jan. Look at his averages. Mm. Paul Hanlon isn't playing just now. I got him for maybe 0.11. I can't remember. And that at the time was genuinely nothing. That at the time was 0.09. That was 162 quid. I got him for.
It's amazing for a unique, that, isn't it?
So, say he goes to Motherwell, for instance, that's the first top I see next to him. You're getting 160 quid back. Do you know what I mean? Baldwin, I done in a trade, I overpaid in a trade because I had a couple of... I had loads of St. Milne and like bits and pieces, and I just wanted him and Leighton Clarkson. And just Marshall again, if he signs a new contract, I could get the money back, I'm sure, because you get a year of utility. Marley Watkins, I got for 0.12, which at the weekend he just won me, I think it was 0.04. So I've got that back. Graham Carey's another one who, how much did I pay for him?
Two freshies out of that guy already.
Two freshies?
Aye, out of Watkins. Right.
And I got him for 0.123. So people slag my approach and wind me up with my approach, but even Graham Carey, like, his kind of average has been, his last, I don't know, 10 scores.
Decent, yeah.
Played against Celtic at the weekend, okay, it wasn't the best. And he was a sub for two games. I think he might have got an injury. But before that, he had three green scores, four green scores out of five. Like, paying 0.2 for a unique, that's very good.
Definitely.
The only problem is, obviously, some of them are relegation threatened. I get that, but that's...
Helped you win a dinky.
What?
Helped you win dinky, that card.
That's what I mean. And yeah, exactly. So what have I won with him? I've won dinky, and I think I won 0.1 Ethereum as well off that.
Yes,
yeah, that's first.
And did I win something before that with him?
Good bit of return there already. Definitely.
Do you know what I mean? Like, my point is, like, see if I'd kept my, without trading and stuff, my gallery, like everybody else's, would have dipped. Which is fine. When I first came into the game, I put in maybe 4 Ethereum. When Ethereum was high, that's my fault, right? But now it's maybe worth double that, right? Which maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I'm still enjoying the game.
Yeah.
I'm cash-wise, it's probably same or down, but I've got uniques I can play with. Like, say they bring out a special weekly next year and it's only SPL running, I've got a decent SPL side there. Like, Marshall can score. Baldwin's average is maybe 40s. Paul Hanlon, if playing, is a good scorer. Lamy's the same. Carey gets assists and goals, and Marley Watkins at the weekend showed. Brown's probably my big regret. That's the only one I could have maybe spent my money better on. But that is what it is, isn't it?
Looking at your gallery as well, I mean, you've got 4 in current in season. So when the split happens at the end of this month and we get the divisions, if I'm not mistaken, you've got a potential entry there, because I think at Unique, you're allowed to use 2 off-season cards as well, right? So you've got at least 3 in-season uniques there that you can put into the contender unique in-season. So, you know, we don't know. You might actually be able to find yourselves in amongst some of the cash prizes as well between now and the end of the season.
But even that, like, say it's a midweek for a split game or whatever and the fixtures fall and somebody needs an in-season card, these can work. And the same with Vertonghen. I seen the Anderlecht fans put up a banner saying, please renew your contract or something, Jan, whatever. But Vertonghen's last, how many scores? His last, what is it?
Great score, look at it. Like,
last 15, 50 plus, and that's where them conceding some stupid goals. And if he renews his contract and goes to the Euros, he then becomes a wanted card.
Mm.
But if he doesn't, then he becomes dead. So that's a gamble we pay.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know if he's won me much, but he's definitely gave me a chance to win stuff.
In unique as well, until we do have that change, he's really good if you've got his unique in like your all-star super rare lineups as well, because he is such a dependable scorer in that 50 to 70 range. Like, you know, an average game, if he keeps a clean sheet, he can push above 70 quite easily, can't he? So if you've got that with that 50% bonus as things currently are, between now and like the change, if I'm not mistaken, we've got All-Star till the end of the season, right? Till August. Is that right, Quinny? Yeah. All-Star will continue.
All-Star in caps.
Yeah. So you've got the use of Vertonghen in your super rare lineups. And, you know, he could be easily worth 100 points plus with his bonus until the end of the season. So you've got good opportunity there to continue to yield a bit of return from that card as well. So
There, he's had 3 100s this season.
Yeah. Yeah, you add the bonus to that. It's a lot, you know, especially in All-Star.
Yeah, and I usually captain him as well. So you're talking 160-plus points.
Yeah, yeah. Is anyone playing 270 much at the minute? I don't know about you guys, but I ended up putting my Mbappe in 270 on the weekend because it's a little bit of a weird competition because that 270 used to be one of the places where a lot of the good rewards were going. Obviously, I think a lot of people have been put off a little bit recently because I think everyone's been a bit more cash focused on like the time between now and the end of the season. And obviously, we don't get cash rewards in 270, but we do get usually decent card rewards. Like I said, I ended up putting my Mbappe in as captain. When you hit a captain in there that has a good game, you're talking 170, 160 points, aren't you?
Yeah. I put my Lewandowski.
Yeah.
This weekend, but I also had Rui Silva who made a mistake. Let me just check a game week, last game week. So I put Lewandowski in 270.
Yeah.
And I didn't captain him. And he got 102 points. I put Fekir as captain. And I got 248 points total, and Lewandowski was a total of 102 of them. So I wish I'd put a stronger lineup next to him because I had a lot of All-Star players who he could have helped.
Yeah. Yeah, the story of my game week just gone was just I had a lot of good scores, but they were just spread out. Every team I had at least one that like messed up the lineup. Like my U23 Super Air was close. Tanny conceded in the 86th minute to lose a clean sheet. I had Nicholas Kuhn as the captain. He had a good return this weekend. And yeah, just looking down, Champ Europe was a sickener for me. Musiala captain hit 100, Harry Kane up top 70, Toni Kroos hits 70, and then Donnarumma hits a 20. So I think I finished, I finished in the tier five there where if Donnarumma had just kept a clean sheet, I could have been right up there in the good rewards. And that was the story of my weekend, really. It's just, like you were saying, Tony, is across the board, across your gallery, you had the makings of some good like scores, and it's just getting the pieces in the right place and having a bit of luck on the weekend, I think.
100%, just trying to get them all together. And my players, look at, I've got a couple of comments here, but I got cap 240, like Quinny, I got the middle threshold. I had 100 from Mabita, and then I had a 91 from Davy Roof and 240, super rare. 100 for Lewandowski in rare. Petkovic got an 88. Carter Vickers got an 85. Like, there's a lot of players hitting good numbers, even Mally Watkins. Like, it's just about putting them in the same team. And unfortunately, I didn't. Like, I missed out on the 240 threshold. I played Roof and Turangira as the kind of mini stack in defence. But then I had Barron and Immobile who one got a 43 and one got a 34. So that is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping for better moving into the next few weeks. But there's been a lot of noise online of late. I think we should have a little chat about it on here. About a lot of people getting a bit upset about their rewards, haven't they, of late? I don't know, Quinny, if you've seen any of the noise on that, if you've been thinking about like your rewards and like if that's had an effect on your personal rewards. I think me personally, I've had a few sort of like, I think that at the minute it's hard to get excited about anything that's below a tier two, isn't it? I think that's the main thing.
For sure. I actually, on the 270 thing, I put my best super rare team in 270 this week and it totally fell on its face because I thought it might have been a wee bit of zigging and zagging, and some of the caps were, you know, the scores my guys had were pretty decent. But I've won a few tier threes over the last month, and like, like you're saying there, and like you'll see on Twitter, like tier three and below is a real dice roll of what the heck you're getting. You know, like last week I won a tier five from America, which was Danny Mbasovsky, if I can find him, who like he's on the bench there now for Seattle, but he's got like, this is a tier five in a region, right? So this is a guy here, just signed in from RSL, obviously not doing much for Seattle, but if he does play, like he's an MLS striker, tier five, I'm rubbing my hands together, like brilliant.
Yeah.
But then last night, I finished 53rd in Challenger, and I won this guy, Dennis Dillman, an 18-year-old goalkeeper who has never, well, he's touched grass once. He's touched grass once. This is T3 in Challenger for 53rd. You know what I mean? It's not like I was at the bottom of the pool or something. And it's a weekend, you know, so that's definitely put a, you know, definitely a wee bit of shit in my cereal, let's say.
That's a 420 point score as well. Like,
yeah,
it's not a 360 score.
Wow.
I think anything in that range you should be getting at. So, for instance, look at your team. I'm just looking at it randomly, and you're thinking, that's a decent score, mate. Like, by the way, just on a side note, David Marshall coming off at half time has killed you.
Yeah. Aye. <It has.
laughs> That gets you in the money, maybe, no?
Aye. Top five or something, I think, could have probably caught us. Top 10.
Yeah, you should be getting a. You should be getting a, and I'm not one to complain about rewards, you know that. I just check the value of mine and just got on with it, because I don't know enough about it. Not the fact that I'm ignorant to it, just because genuinely I don't know much about the reward pools. But you should be getting better than that. If you're getting, you've got two decisives here, and then you've got A's, one A is 40 and the other one's 45, you should be getting something much, even near two's A's is quite high. Fits and wise, you should be getting something better than that.
Yeah, I'm just having a little look at recent wins I've had to see like what I would consider a half decent win, what tier they're in, and where I've finished. And I think I had a 44th place in U23 Rare Plus, which was a tier three a few weeks back, and I won a Emil Fredriksen. Danish forwards played for replace Rosenborg. I consider that a pretty good reward for a tier three. But then I think the same week I finished fourth in Cap 240 Super Rare, and I won a tier three there. But it's a Chris Donovan who plays for Philadelphia. You know, his scores are not good. He's in and out of, you know, very, very rarely gets off the bench at the moment. So it's like for fourth place, tier three. Versus 44th place. I think my 44th place rare card in U23 Rare Plus is worth more than my third place.
Why are they not going to like the Premiership or something and go, okay, let's go to Motherwell and we'll get a centre-back or a... Like, there's cards that they can give.
Yeah.
They should be looking and saying, like, right, let's look at, I don't know, give me a league and... Why do they give... crap cards, like I don't understand. It's the same. I won a Denzel Hall when I won kickoff unique, and see if you're building up to kickoff or whatever, it should be so you can use them in the next level. And yeah. Like, I don't know what his price is, let me have a look. But I mean,
I guess it does involve quite a lot of manual checking of the pools, and obviously, there's hundreds of cards in these pools now.
But come on, we're talking a company that's worth millions, but yeah. How much is Sorel worth? I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, it was valued in the billions, wasn't it? When they raised their second round.
How can they not pay somebody 50 grand a year to check prize pool 2 hours a weekend? Or
there's got to be a little bit of manual in there. I think, especially when the new cards come out for the season, obviously their prices are inflated, and I think a lot of their like AI models are based on like current value of cards rather than like, you know, like if you watch football and you have a little look at the scores of any of these players, you can kind of figure out how useful they're going to be in SO5, and they know that as well. But I think most of their model is built around their current value or what their value is. And I think if I look at that Donovan as an example, recent, I think his price was inflated because this was his number two card. Obviously, his new season card's just come out.
Yeah.
So his price is probably a lot higher than it actually is. And it's like, he's found himself in this tier three versus like, you know, if you think about other cards that might have been in it, I'm just guessing because I'm not looking back now, but you would imagine in the tier three, at the top end of that tier three pool, which this card would have been, because I would have been the first tier three winner that week. You'd imagine there'd be a lot of cards that are maybe coming to the end of the season. Like a tier three, you might find like the likes of like a Nabil Fekir in there at the moment, because he's coming to the end of the season. He's been in and out with injuries. He hasn't hit any like peak scores really, apart from one or two game weeks. And in terms of his value of his super rare, his current season card, which is going to go out of season in a few weeks, versus Chris Donovan, who's just started his new season. He's going to be in season for like the new tournaments. His value be like spiked, and I think
they shouldn't value them like that. Stash, they shouldn't value,
especially with Super Rare, because you've only got one card to go off. You haven't got 20 sales, or you or. And I think that maybe they're valuing the Super Rares wrong. They need to value them based off of, you know, like the mints in the limited, like excluding the number ones. You've got to take number ones out of.
Yeah, I agree with that. Get number ones out the pool.
Number ones out of any price speculation, 100%.
Because a lot of number ones is what you're willing to pay. Like,
yeah,
Banksy wants a number one. He gets a number one for 10 times the value because he can afford it. Whereas if I'm auctioning, I've got a limit on where I'm going with that. And the Super Rare price pool, I've won maybe 15 Super Rares in my... I don't know. You probably got to check, but the amount of times I've been stung, I won a Renan Lodi and 5 days later he went to Saudi and I couldn't do anything about it. But it's as if like so rare are like not my problem. But I want to use my card for 6 months. I want to use the card for a year, or I want to sell it. Like if he goes to Saudi, they should have a cool down period, and it's as if like we'll make rules so that it's it's like Teflon, so we are not getting touched.
You've won at 19 Super Rares.
19? Nice. And how many are useful?
Well,
so
I mean, it's a big win, doesn't it? If you win a Super Rare and it's useful, that does feel like a big win. But it is hard. Like I say, I think I've won a few recently. I've won maybe 3 or 4. So I can see 5 in like the last few weeks, but none of them are that useful. I think maybe you could argue that the one I won this week, Han Seung-gyu, at Seoul, he's not an awful card. He's not worth a great deal of money, but you know, he gets a game. He's been starting this season, so he could become quite useful. And I like Seoul, so I'm not that disappointed with that, just as from a football point of view, but from an SO5 point of view, I'm not sure what lineups I end up putting him in. Unless I find myself playing Asia between now and the end of the season. Obviously, Asia goes into contender, doesn't it, soon? So,
yeah.
I'm not sure how much use I'll get out of that versus the rest of the options I've got in that pool of cards. But, from a collecting standpoint, you know, I like Seoul as a club. So, it's swings and roundabouts there. But it is difficult, isn't it? I think there's been a lot. I feel like this week particularly, I went on Twitter and there seems to be a lot of people disappointed this week. And so rare is quite reactionary, aren't they? Like of a week like this, where obviously a lot of people on Twitter are complaining about it. I feel like maybe the next couple of weeks we might see a little bit of a shift. So maybe this weekend coming is the one you really want to win a card in.
But it shouldn't be like that. It should be proactive, not reactive, and
yeah,
especially when you're a $1 billion company.
Yeah,
like, that's not good enough. And I'm not complaining about the awards because I'm happy with mine. The last few weeks I've won 2 tier 3s, no, 2 tier 3s and 2 tier 4s, and I've no use for them. But it is what it is. Like I won Ivan Jamie from Porto, who's worth a grand total of, I don't know, 15 quid is a tier 3. And then, let me check here. Isaac Porvaldsen's probably worth about 25 quid is a tier 3. And then the other two are probably worth a tenner each. Tier 4's like, a tenner's not going to change anything in my gallery. Like, so what is the point? Like,
the problem is no one buys those cards at the moment. There's not a lot of interest for cards that are that cheap, is there? Either like, because there's a lot of cards that cheap. And at the minute, I think we all know that like with the split, I think things are going to get quite competitive. I'm expecting things to get competitive. I don't know about you two, but I'm expecting competition to like ramp up. You're going to need big scores. You're going to need the collection bonuses. You're going to need a lot of that. So these sort of 10 quid random players, squad players are going to be, without the cap modes, those cards are almost useless, aren't they, at the minute? I think you'll get use out of them between now and the end of the season, but you've got to use them to win some thresholds between now and August. Otherwise, it's difficult justifying buying. Like, for example, this week I won one. I'm not complaining. It's a tier five. I didn't have a good finish. I scraped into the reward, so I'm not expecting much. But it's an in-season card. Nico Melamed, 22-year-old midfielder, Espanol. He's played... He's come off the bench once in the last 15 games. He scored 22. He's worth 14 quid. You know, if I can sell him for 14 quid, I haven't got any complaints. The problem is, can you sell him for 14 quid? And I think there's not a lot of people in the market for players like this. Although I can see two people did pick him up yesterday, so maybe I'm chatting shit. But
I was going to say, Nico Melamed's probably not a great example because he's actually a quality player. He's a wee wonder kid.
Let's have a look. Oh, I can see back. Do you know what? Yeah, if I scroll back, you're right. His scores are actually decent. I'm just looking at his L15 here. I didn't scroll back. That is actually, I can't really complain at all about that, looking at it.
But so, I get the point. The point still stands. But him individually, he's not the name he used. Probably.
A bad example. You're right. You're right.
But it is there, for sure. You know.
I've got another one who's 22. I won last week. And, you know, I've listed him for 4 quid and I haven't had a sniff. But he literally hasn't played a minute for, like, over 20 games. So, the point stands. It was a bad example, obviously. But, I think it's difficult, isn't it? I think the market... I feel like we had this conversation last week, didn't we, Quinny? I think a lot of people are waiting to, like, see the change happen and experience it for a few weeks and get a feel for what we're competing for. And then it might be like, okay, you know, maybe a score of 49 on average isn't a bad player to pick up if you can pick them up at the right price. And I think there are gems out there. You can come in if you're willing to wait and if you're willing to play the off-season game. You could pick up a rare team now for probably less than 100 quid, couldn't you, for like 6 or 7 cards and get a starting goalkeeper you can pick up for about 50 quid now. Don't know about you, you've had to buy one, but you can... I've got starting goalkeepers or goalkeepers that have begun starting. You know, like those players that have lied dormant in your galleries for a while. A couple of my goalkeepers have started playing now. And I was like, oh, they are. I've started 5 games in a row now. What's his price looking like? And they're under half what I put them in for. Like, because obviously the market is doing what it's doing. But, yeah, I mean, it's good entry point, isn't it, for anyone that wants to get into the game. And I think the big issue is onboarding. Now, this, if anything, you know, someone could chuck 100 quid into this game and play it for a season and hopefully have some joy. And I think, you know, with the reward boxes and things like that come in, that's one thing to be positive about, I suppose. Like, obviously, we can all be upset. We're winning rewards. Like, new players would love to win a reward of some sort. And I think where the barrier of entry is where it is now, hopefully, it's in a position where the onboarding can be done big time, and we can start seeing the benefits of it, hopefully, in the marketplace at least.
I think for the rare pricing at the moment, it's very appealing. You know, I've not really been buying rares for about 2 years or something. I've been trying to get super rares or anything else like that, because the price of rares, especially like the stuff I like to buy, I've never seen good value for money in a lot of it, because the problem a lot of the market and a lot of the platform is feeling now is the choice that's out there. Like, guys, like, we were looking at Tony's Uniques earlier on. Like, for Tongan, what was he doing there? 300 or 400 a season? You know, there's a lot of players that could do, not tons, but there's a lot of players that could do 300 or 400 a season. So that's, like, the market that a guy like that goes into, if you get me. And if that's what your criteria is, when we've got All-Star and we've got cap modes, you can find guys like that in a lot of different places. With the readjustment and all the kind of little regions we've got now, I think a lot of people are still trying to just get their head around how many guys in this region can smash 100 from defence, and who are they and where are they, you know, and who can do 80 plus from midfield, etc. And because there is a lot of choice, and like yesterday I picked up a Moussa Diaby rare for 38 quid as a wee midweek forward bit of cover for me. So, like, in terms of the outfielders, like, if you know what you like and you know what kind of choice you're after and what players you're after, like, Moussa Diaby is like a solid, what would we call him, a tier two?
Yeah.
On a good day, a tier one?
I think the issue with him is just that you can't 100% be sure which games he's going to start, right? That's the risk.
Plays for a decent team, has a decent transfer value, probably scores about 8 goals a season, gets about 5 or 6 assists, like, as an average or something, you know, with a bit of AA. You know, guys like that, 40 quid is a rare forward. There's Moussa Diaby. There's probably a list as long as your arm of guys that are like him. And now has never been a better time to get rares, because before, like, you'd look at a Moussa Diaby and you'd be like, oh yeah, he's a decent player and that, but X amount, you know, like, oh, yeah. I can't really do that because he's injured half the time and he's not a nailed starter or whatever. So I think rares are way more appealing than before, but as the classic, like, reward pools and whatever are going to be quite busy. You know, you're going to need, like you mentioned, special collection, bonus XP, a lot of things to go with you to help you get into the actual cards. But for building your team or enhancing what you've got now, like, rares is probably one of the most fun scarcities to be kicking about in the now. I don't know, limiteds, I can't really comment on that, but I've been buying a lot of rares.
It's going to be interesting, the split. Tony, have you been bringing anything new in for the, like, what's your strategy moving into this split that's happening at the end of this month? Have you made any kind of moves in the market?
Trying to downsize a little bit, just not downsize, but like go from unique to maybe super rare. So I've, in the last 4 weeks, I've picked up a Miovsky striker for Aberdeen, sorry, Hatate, Carter Vickers, Turangira, as Inkernagel from Bruges, as like super rare options. But then I've brought in a stack from Dynamo Zagreb, a couple of like random, like challenger, like Onuachu. And then I went and got myself a Champ Europe team, but I've not really completed it. Let me check Champ Europe. Let me try and get this up so I can explain what I mean. All-star, that's what I mean. Champions Europe. So I've bought myself, like, I already had like a couple of super rares, but only rare. And I got myself a little mix just to play in, like, but I got myself a couple of hundred quid in rewards at the weekend, and I'll probably invest that into maybe a Barcelona player or two to go alongside them. But my problem just now is, well, it'd be fair, I've got 4, but I need to get myself 1 or 2 more in-season cards to then maybe challenge. I've got Lewandowski. If I can get myself like a Gundogan or somebody in-season to go with Rui Silva and Fekir, I might buy like a Pizzella from Betis and then even try and get a little collection bonus from Betis going. I don't know. But I just want to the end of the season, I just want to have a wee sniff at winning a couple of quid.
Yeah.
And then I'll just keep that team running after. But my strategy's probably been to get more teams out, to be honest, because when I was going super rare and unique, I had a better chance of winning rewards and better rewards, but it was only maybe 4 or 5. So see, if I had 1 or 2 dead lineups, then I was done for the weekend.
Yeah, I hear that. In terms of like your uniques after the split, so obviously we know that we'll be able to use uniques down, won't we, into like super rare or rare or even limited, and they'll just lose their bonus. Do you see your unique strategy changing? Are you going to try and hit prizes in the unique, or do you think you've got, like, for example, we spoke about your Vertonghen, he's obviously quite a good scorer, so moving him down into your super rare or rare might not be that awful a move, but it might mean that, you know, you're downgrading your unique offering a little bit. What do you think? How do you see yourself kind of playing that out?
I think Marshall and Vertonghen both probably depend on their contract situation. I think if Vertonghen signs a new deal, somebody will want him. I think he's one that can compete the highest level in that bracket. He's not a mid scorer, he's a high scorer in terms of defender. Like, for instance, last week they played RWDM, and that's a game they're expected to win, and he scores 100. Before that, he played RWDM and he scores 100 again. So if he renews and he's got teams like that, say a Club Rouge, he gets 88, and then it's a few 68s, and he's a national team player as well in the summer. So if I hold him and he signs a new contract to 1 week before the Euros, then I'm sure I can get a bit of return for him.
Surely he signs a new contract. He's still a really important player there. I can't see him letting him go.
Yeah, they've been.
Where would he go? MLS, maybe? I don't know.
No, he's got to retire or sign a new contract, he said. Right.
He should.
David Marshall's another one. Like, when the competitions come around, people will be looking for goalkeepers to put two or three teams in every league. And if he signs a new deal, he's another one who Hibs have hit a bit of form. Why not? So I'm patient for once. Don't get me wrong, I've got Mats Ritz, who, since I signed him, I think he's had the worst period of his SO5 career, but they've been winning games and he's been doing well. So I'm happy enough to stay and maybe compete in the weeklies and, like, be patient for that and try and win bits and balls. But the changes definitely stung me a little bit. But yeah. I can't complain. I still love winning the game.
Yeah, I think I can't imagine there's anyone. I mean, what kind of gallery would you have to have for the change to have benefited you, do you reckon, Quinny?
See, I've heard Laird saying on the data show, like, people that aren't affected by it were probably playing the game wrong, right? And yeah, there's a wee bit of truth in that. But I genuinely think, like, probably the people that are the least affected by it are the people that were really streamlined anyway, like just followed a league or just backed a club, because nothing really has changed for those people. When is that really playing the game wrong? I'm not so sure. So that's the obvious one. I think under 23s, you've heard Harry talk about that quite a lot. It's been a bit of change with the kind of the perception on that, because there's no cash opportunity for under 23. It's card only.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even feel my gallery is totally, like, other than the whole, like, unique thing, you know, playing uniques with super rares and them having an advantage almost. That's the only change that has really kind of, like, undermined what I'd put together already. It's really sickening for me that I don't really need that McGregor anymore. There's no, and me moving into uniques to put him with cards that he would need around him, it's just not going to happen. So I'm really kind of sad for that kind of aspect of it. But otherwise, like, really, it's just I need more volume, because, like Tony's saying, it's about volume of lineups now. Because I hear people still saying stuff like for the classic mode in particular, for in season, it might be a bit different, right? But for classic mode, like, oh, I'm going to play one team in Challenger and two team in Champions and three teams in Contender or whatever. And honestly, see, after two game weeks, everyone is going to be flipped on to the idea of, like, you know, all three of your lineups are actually the one entry in a roundabout way, you know, and you're just kind of, because, like, if you're playing in Champion or any region, right, and you have got, if you've got one team that's good, right, you're going to have a couple of players that should be in contention for that squad that didn't make the cut, that end up in your second team. And then maybe you don't have a third team. Team one goes out and does okay. One or two guys are going to let you down, like Immobile and somebody else. But then in team two, you're going to look at it and go, oh, those other guys I didn't pick banged. And do you know what my problem there was? It wasn't not putting them in team one, but it wasn't. The problem was I didn't make team two decent enough.
Can they win three rewards?
Aye. You can win it, well, all of them, you know. So it's going to be a case of, for me anyway, after a week or two, I think everyone will click on to the fact that, like, you know, all three teams, you're going to want them to be as strong as each other, because you don't want to have, no one puts, you know, when you're putting their dead team out, you know, it is legitimately after you've put out, depending on what scarcity you're in, let's just say 10 lineups or something, maybe 8, maybe 12, right, but just say 10. And then it is like the dregs. People are thinking that's going to be their attitude to team number three, but it's not, because it's your, you know, how many teams are you actually putting into that region of players that are going to be handy? So I think, like, volume is the big thing. You're going to need more goalkeepers. You're going to need more, like, kind of everything. And
yeah, I think the market will maybe pick up, because people will be like, shit, I need to go and sign a goalkeeper. I need to do this. I need to do that. And people start getting more cards. I don't think it's killed my gallery. Honestly, if I went and sold all my players under value and done a deal with Pavel, then, right, okay, it's killed my gallery. But if I just wait and go, right, Vertonghen, if I can get 0.6 in a trade or 0.5 or 0.8, whatever, eventually he'll be worth that again. I'm 100% that, because if they come out with Euro specials and the Euros, like the competitions for uniques, there's a chance that Vertonghen could be one of the best scorers if he plays for Belgium. So who's to say that somebody pranksy doesn't come to me and say, right, I'll give you an ETH for it, because he bought Makeley for an ETH, who I love, but Makeley doesn't have international stuff. And do you think Pranksy's really caring about 18 months' time? If he can win, if he can win 3-4 coins worth of rewards with him, it's worth it to them. Marley Watkins, for me, I got him for 0.12. I could sell him surely for 0.3 if he's a scoring in whatever it contender or challenger it is. Like, it's not killed me, but it's killed my... I could have done it cheaper. It's killed my way in terms of... I was wanting to win 3 or 4 thresholds just to get the money back to say, right, I overpaid for that, but now I've got them in my gallery.
Yeah.
That was my point. But what can you do? That's life.
We're in a pretty thin couple of game weeks, aren't we, in terms of... You kind of midweek, we've got a bit of La Liga 2. We've obviously got a few internationals this week, bit of MLS. How are you guys shaped up over the next few weeks leading up to this split? You expecting much to come in, or are you just kind of waiting for league football to come back?
I've got MLS cards, but I've not got any for the in-season thing, sadly, because I think that looks pretty good. You only need 2 in-season cards, or is it 3? They've tapered it down anyway for this one, so it's a wee bit easier to get into if you've already got MLS cards or whatever. So that could be quite decent. But I'm just getting kind of set for waiting for this kind of final furlong of the season to kick in, because again, like we've all kind of been saying, like we're making all these kind of plans, and you kind of look at your gallery and think, oh well, I need a wee bit more there. I don't maybe need as much over there. But and again, kind of what I'm saying, after a few weeks, I think people will maybe change direction on this kind of school of thought and some of this, but we all will to some extent, you know, like after you get a bit of a shot of it. Like I'm doing the lineup builder now for the weekend after the international break, and I'm trying to work out like how many in-season teams can I squeeze out, and will I be playing them, and do I still play 240? Do I have an all-star team? Because there's so many, you know, in this little handover period where you've still got the old stuff still running, there is a real kind of headache of decision making here, and it just kind of further enforces, I think, like, although cards are cheap at the moment, I think there will be a wee moment for a lot of people where they go, do you know what, I could actually do with an extra 15 rares, you know. And I think like there'll be that kind of little session in the market. I've been trying to add some super rares as well, but it's just there's not as many of them, and it's a little bit harder kind of thing. But so yeah, I'm mainly looking at, you know, filling out, like I've got a kind of wee master plan of where the gallery's at to make sure that it still does the job it does when the changes come in. And that's my only kind of real focus with cards and teams now, is just rounding them out.
What weekend does that MLS start? Is it next weekend, or when does that start? Because I likewise, I'm not sure I've got the cards for it, but... I do have one in season MLS card, that one I won. So if it looks, if I get a sniff of him starting a game, it might not be the worst thing for me to pick one up, because I've got Chris Brady super rare. I've got a couple of MLS super rares that I could plug in, but obviously I've only got that one in season, and it really depends on whether or not I think he's going to start. But when does that start? Is it the weekend?
So it starts this weekend, and a lot of guys are away on international duty, and MLS obviously just plays right through it. So it's going to be a fun week one, be quite open, I suspect. And then it'll be the 2 weekends thereafter as well. It's a 3 weeks special.
I'll have to do some digging then and see if this Chris Donovan's going to get any minutes. But there might be a shout there for me to try and exploit that MLS tournament. I'm just having a look now at like what I could do, to be fair.
Harry Trades has got your back here. He says Brady's away with the national team. So,
cheers, Harry. That's ruined that for me. He's not going to get any minutes at international, I don't think. But that's good to hear that he's away with them. I think, we've obviously got, in terms of U23, we've got the Olympics, haven't we, this summer? So we'll be keeping a keen eye on like who's going away with the national teams now. And because I think that's under 23 apart. I think they can bring like 2 or 3 players that are over 23, but majority of those players going to the Olympics. I'm not sure if America are qualified for the football or not, to be honest. I haven't checked it out, but I did have a brief look at who might be going to the Olympics, I think, whether or not he's in there. But yeah, interesting. That's messed me up though. But cheers, Harry, for that. At least I know what I'm doing now in terms of selection that weekend. My U23 offering is going to be weakened quite heavily by the looks of it. I thought I might have had a sneaky little on a thin game week chance at U23 scalp, but maybe not. Maybe not. Yeah, really thin game week. The next couple of game weeks, just looking at it, not sure what I can get out, but I'll be hoping for some last minute end product before the big changes come in.
I've kind of decided from this moment I'm going to be playing super rare or low threshold between now and the end of time, basically. I've had my little period of going for that mid target and had no success at all. So I'm just throwing the towel in with it and just going sack it. So I was saying this to, I think it might have been Harry or somebody else, but this whole time, see if you did just go for the lower threshold and you just made sure you hit it most of the times. With the ETH appreciation we've had in the last month, you probably would have been, you know, pretty well off for in terms of working out success on the mid targets. The mid targets just hasn't been hitting for me certainly. So I'm definitely just kind of taking my medicine on that. I've had my fun trying to shoot for the stars on 400 points with the super rares or whatever. I'm just going to tone it down between now and the end of the season. And I say kind of what I'm saying there. It's just about. So again, I think anyone that listens to this podcast, you guys as well, anyone that's been on the platform for a while, when these changes come, the main thing you're looking at and look after is your gallery. Make sure all the work you've put in and the guys you've been amassing can still like do the business for you, whatever the business is, kind of thing. So The more wee thresholds I pick up, the better. Because I picked up that 80 quid threshold or 60 quid, I think it is, $80 from Rare. And like I said, I went and got that Diaby for 40 quid. But also went and got like some collection pieces to help the Celtic thing out, like a jersey number Sigrist, which is fun, and a Moritz Jens for 6 quid. So getting those wee thresholds in, it just makes some of those cards a bit easier to gather up, you know.
Definitely, definitely. I think there's a little gap in my gallery, which I might plug for the weekend. I haven't been in this position for a little while, but I've got like an okay U23 Rare Plus lineup that I could put out. Maybe I could better that with a rare. Oh no, I think Luna's out. I think there's a potential there if I can plug a gap in defense. I've got a half decent U23 Rare Plus that I could run on the weekend. And on weekends like this or game weeks like this where there's not many fixtures, especially before, you know, like they're going to change the way that you win rewards, you can only win cards of players that were playing in that game week. While we still don't have that, you've always got that opportunity of snagging a Jude Bellingham in a week like this with, obviously it doesn't happen very often, but you know, the chance is still there. So maybe I plug a gap in defense U23 Rare Plus for the weekend. If anyone's got any scouting tips, any players I should be having a little look at, please hit me up. A little defender for the weekend, U23. Who should I be looking at? Where should my eyes be set? Especially, I guess, MLS wouldn't be a bad thing for me. I mean, if maybe even in season, MLS might be worth a look with this tournament coming up as well. So, yeah, maybe I have got some shopping to do the next few days. I haven't been that active in the market for a few months, but it's getting close to that time now where I've got to hit go on probably a super rare goalkeeper. We spoke about it last week, Quinny, and I've been looking at off-season. I think I was talking to you, you know, like there's a really cheap Guaita on the market, super rare, couple hundred quid. So yeah, I don't know, like the play is there. Got to put the plays in, got to make the moves in the market soon. It'd be interesting to see what we're talking about in a couple of weeks on the podcast once the change comes. But I think we're all going to be pretty active over the next few weeks in the market by the looks of it.
I think so, especially if we're getting tier 3 super rare selling for £35. David Taylor catching up on the stream telling us about one of Harry Trade's wins. So yeah, there's that kind of vibe as well, like with super rares. Like I've been getting some for a little collection, but I do see, like, you've probably seen the Barcola tweet the other day, you know, the price of the super rare 1 month ago is the same price as the unique like 2 days ago or something. And when you look at some of the super rare rewards that have been coming out and some of the auctions, like a lot of those prices have been like attractive or affordable. I don't know what the word is for it, but there's definitely a little bit of opportunity there perhaps for squad building.
Yeah, I'm going to have a little look now at what's on the market. See, I think, what did the Messi go for in the end? We were talking about that on the podcast last week, weren't we?
we were.
What did he go for in the end? We were 10, weren't we?
I can remember catching it on Sorare Data. Yeah, I went for 5.15.
Oh, wow.
I mean, G's.
ETH's up in value as well, so I guess.
Yeah, because you were thinking about bidding on it, Stish, remember?
On the Messi. We were talking about like the potential. I mean, I wouldn't have had much use for him. I'd need a unique goalkeeper before I start bidding for a Messi or something like that. But yeah, I'm just looking on the market now. I see like we've got some new faces. Jadon Sancho in his Dortmund kit.
Ooh, really?
Got a super rare on the market at the moment. It's going pretty well. It's up to 970 quid. So people are obviously interested in that. Lenny Yoro has got another card on the market. He's a good potential buy at 17 years of age, isn't he? I think he gets a big move this summer, though. So he may be not quite as dependable in terms of SO5 output for the next season, but definitely a good card for the future. What else we got on the market? Any more new faces? Obviously, a few MLS cards there.
No, Dortmund Sancho is nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Better than Man United Sancho.
Do you think they'll sign him long term at the end of the season?
No idea, to be honest with you.
I think
I think they get a good deal
in the last couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, I've still got my United card. I plugged him into a team this week and obviously went off with cramp in the week, so I wasn't sure if he'd play. But yeah, he didn't end up getting any minutes to get the weekend. Sat on the bench. But the fact he sat on the bench suggests it was just cramp and it wasn't anything to worry about.
Fair enough. I don't think there's going to be much on for the next week, but it is all going to be all eyes on the weekend after this one, really, guys, isn't it?
Yeah, preparation starts now. I've just listed about 5 uniques up on the market and see if I
can start playing. That's it.
But I think my strategy is going to be have 7 or 8 players in one lineup for use rather than have 5 or 6, because a little bit of options aren't too bad at all, is it?
That's it. Yeah, I'm going to be keeping an eye on these auctions. Like you're saying, Quinnie, there are some bargains out there to be had. I'm just looking now, there's a Benjamin Andre about to finish. Benjamin Andre is quite a dependable scorer, obviously, at Lille. He's a bit on the older side, which obviously that downgrades his price a little bit, but it looks like he's about to sell for like £12.49. I'm like, I remember having him in my gallery years ago, and he was a great card to have. So the fact that you can pick a card like that up at this sort of price in season as well, it's going to be really interesting to see how the in-season thing pans out in the next few weeks, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Excellent. I think that'll be us until next week, guys, won't it? Fingers crossed for some international end product, although it's probably not going to happen.
Pretty low chance of that for me, but we're in it to win it. Still nice. Well, Tony, it's been great having you back, mate. Hopefully we can get you on again in the next few weeks. I know you've been really busy with training and they got you running into the ground there, but it's good. Good to have you back.
Everyone's getting their Tony Watt cards ready for next season, Tony, as well. That's what we're getting in the chat.
That's right. Hopefully we get the use out of that.
Keep on, mate. Keep scoring, and you've had to see that value start rising quickly. And ETH, that's for sure.
No, pleasure, lads. It's been a pleasure. I'll see you soon.
Definitely. Take care, mate. Cheers, Quinny. Cheers, everyone. Good luck.